Hey, everybody, and welcome to Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm with...
Paul Presenza, known as the Ski Cow. Moo!
And I'm Jen.
Just Jen. All right. So we're gonna be talking to you guys about Ski Wolf tonight. Woo-hoo! And we're really excited about that. But before we do that, here's our introduction music. And we're back. All right. We weren't gone for very long. We're going to be talking about Chris Seaver's movie, Ski Wolf. Now, I'm going to read you guys, like, the back of the box that says, what do you get when you combine two of the greatest cult comedies, Teen Wolf and Ski Wolf, of all time? Well, Ski Wolf is what you get. Witness 80s-style tomfoolery flung at you with the greatest of ease. Will Scott Bateman and his companions be able to stop Ralston Zapka XIV, played by cult legend Trent Haga, and his sidekicks, including adult film star Alex Lakehurst? I don't know why that's in quotations, but all right. Like, the names are in quotation. That's funny. From taking the ski mountain away from Uncle Billy, played by Billy Garbarino. Or will the ski wolf thwart the evil rich kid's plan and bring the party back to the mountain slopes? All right, so there's more to it, but pretty much that's the gist of the movie. So instead, like, I figured that would be an easier way to tell the audience what it's about.
Sure, you know? We got a little bit of Teen Wolf in there. We got a little bit of ski school, a little bit of snow patrol, a little this, a little that, a little bit of Teen Ape, to be perfectly frank.
Yeah, pretty much. He's and it's played by the same guy, Casey Balker, who plays Scott Bateman. he was basically he played Teen Wolf or Teen Ape for right. Most of Chris Seaver's stuff. So I really like Casey Balker as Teen Ape, and I know you're not, you know, you're hit or miss on
hit or miss. Sometimes he can be a bit much.
And Jen's never seen Teen Ape at all, so she has no clue.
We'll
what we're
fix
talking
her
about.
That.
Some point you'll see it. But yeah, so it is, you know, it starts off basically, you know, they're coming to this mountain and they're going to, you know, talk to their uncle or his uncle, Scott Bateman's uncle, Uncle Billy. And they're, which actually, it's kind of strange. I've never noticed this before, but he calls him Mr. Williams. The other guy calls him Mr. Williams and he says, Uncle. And yet he's Bateman. Shouldn't he have been Uncle Bateman? I don't know.
Chris Seaver movie, you don't ask.
I think that's a continuity error. And we get
but again, Chris Seaver movie, sometimes you just don't.
Yeah, you just don't ask.
Don't follow just, the details.
You just accept it.
Right.
And I think, you know, and there are movies that I can watch and I can just accept. Like this movie, definitely. It's one of the films that has a very over-the-top dialogue. And overacting, as Jim was pointing out a lot, you know,
the entire thing is over. Well, almost the entire thing was overacting.
Yeah,
certain characters, there was no acting.
Well, of course, it's done for comic effect, and I think it can be pretty effective for the most part. There are times, though, when it's a bit much, and it tends to sort of have the opposite effect of what it's meant to do. You know, there were a couple of times, like I think you pointed out the one scene where they're all sort of in bed doing their shenanigans. It kind of went on a bit much, and the humor sort of drained away. I mean, that's the thing about humor is that, you know, it needs to be quick. Timing needs to be fast. And if you're not doing it fast and if it drags, it tends to have the opposite effect. But, you know, fortunately that doesn't happen often in a Chris Seaver movie. But when it does, you know, it falls like a lead balloon, you know.
Well, I'll give him credit. His sex scenes are generally funny. They're not meant to be, you know, nobody's meant to, as you were saying before, nobody's meant to basically get off on them, you know, or whatever.
Not exploitative,
they're,
usually.
You know, yeah, they're just basically there for comedic effect. And, but I've seen better sex scenes. I mean, I'm not dissing on Alex Lakehurst or you know, whatever, but I just, like, some of the sex scenes in Chris Seaver movies are funnier. And
right.
I think you're right. It did go all a little long. I think they should have brought everybody in there quicker and stuff like that. And yeah, I feel like it would have...
The beginning part dragged on before the true... I don't want to say the serious part, but before the really slapsticky type goofiness started, that beginning part was like, okay, got the point, move on.
Right.
I have seen some where the sex scenes were a lot stickier, speaking of slapstickier, but yeah, this one was fairly tame compared to some of the other Seaver movies and other things that we've seen and we've done before.
Definitely. But let's go right into the characters. And there are a lot of characters. And I'm going to put that in quotation because each person was a specific character. So Scott Bateman was the his character. Casey Bowkers is very, like, he's kind of the pushover, you know, loser kind of guy who... can't ski, can't do anything right, you know, doesn't realize the girl that is his best friend really loves him, you know, or whatever. Things like that, you know. You kind of see them, they're all cliches that are put.
Teenage trope from the 80s.
Right, and that's the point. Like, they're not cliches as in, like, there was just bad writing and stuff. It's like, it was specific for that kind of thing. And then there's Desiree Seisha's character, Katie McCormick, is, you know, just the lovable friend. She's really sweet, you know, down to earth,
supportive,
you know, except, you know, when he starts to, like, go away from her and focus on, you know, well, we'll get to that, I guess, you know, that'll be a little bit down the road. Then there's, there's Corn Dervish, who's like this really wacky, Thor style guy, because he talks about Odin. He talks about
Josh
Crumb, played by Josh Swire. His character is so over the top. Like, I don't think there's a normal scene at all in any of his lines.
Well, it's funny because when we're going through this, I keep thinking to myself, what if they decided to use Leo Deschamps' character instead of Corn Dervish? Because both of them are played by Josh. How different that would have been. It would have been a very different film, I think. Not necessarily better, but different.
I don't think that, and we're going to get right into this then, because Jesse Ames, who you're a huge fan of, and I love to death too, plays Marge Baglione.
Marge!
And,
loves her Turkish taffy.
Turkish delight. Yes. Mm-hmm. And apparently that's like the big like joke throughout the whole thing is her getting Turkish delight and stuff like that. And which I guess that's a joke that kind of runs old after a little bit too.
Well, but they don't overplay it. Give them that. It appears every now and then, but it's not one that's like, yeah, okay.
But, you know, maybe there would have been too much candy because Leo Deschamps, of course, loves his Toblerone. So you can't have Turkish Delight and Toblerone fighting each other in the same film, right?
See, that might be one thing. But I was going to say, I just don't see Leo and Marge as being friends. Now I see Corn and Marge as being friends. You see what I'm saying? Like, I saw that relationship and friendship kind of blossomed from that. I mean, we're talking like this is like a normal film. This is not a normal film at all.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're kind of dissecting a movie that obviously was dick and fart jokes pretty much throughout the whole thing. Then there's the bullies. Because we talked about Uncle Billy, and Uncle Billy is really sweet. And then there's Enor, who is his gardener, which makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah. He's also his gardener, butler, and I'm guessing his lover.
Lover.
There's a lot of stuff with
he's
that.
Just there.
He's a strange character.
Yeah.
And he cooks for everybody. He's just a strange character. Well, I actually really liked him. I kind of wanted to see more of him.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't think I've ever seen him in any other film.
Yeah. And he does this, like, very Bill Murray-esque Caddyshack kind of, you know, like... lines. I like that. I don't know if that was his idea, if that was Seaver's idea. Probably Seaver's, most likely, because that's what Seaver likes to do, is he likes to have characters sound like characters. We were talking about earlier, we were talking about BoneJack, and BoneJack sounds like Bill Cosby. So, Jason McCall in one of the movies Sylvester Stallone did Rocky, you know, the voice, you know, for one of his characters.
Right. And for folks who don't, who are not familiar with Chris Seaver, his films, and for just Jen's sake as well.
Thank you.
It's a good thing to point out that Chris Seaver tends to use a certain number of stock characters in all of his films. They usually pop up here and there. So you're going to see a lot of Teen Ape. You're going to see a lot of Leo Deschamps. You're going to see a lot of Mulville. You're going to see a lot of Demon Phil. You're going to see a lot of these people sort of come and go, Bonejack, etc. They're not used in all the films, but in most of his movies, they pop up and they have a certain role that they play.
Now, I know you aren't a huge fan of Corn Dervish, right? Like, you didn't love him, right, Jen?
Oh, I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, you thought it was hilarious.
No, I thought the character that he played and actually his lines were hilarious, and he was that same way throughout the movie.
Right.
That's what I liked. Like, he started off absolutely crazy, wacky. That one friend, you're like, yeah, okay, this guy's nuts. You just accept him as being nuts. The way he talked, he followed that character all throughout the movie, which I thought was hilarious. And he had some good lines.
He did.
I actually didn't write any of them down and couldn't tell you one, but I remember thinking, like, that's creative. I give him that.
Yeah, he's like that Ren nerd, weird guy that everyone knows. Huzzah!
And you're just like, okay.
And Josh always does a really good job. He's really a good character actor. You got to give him credit.
The wig, though. Not the wig. No.
Speaking of lines, one of my favorite lines, and this guy, I know you laughed at this, and I know, I'm not sure if you did or not, but when he goes, "Don't look at me!"
Yeah.
And he runs
that
off.
That was funny.
Like, Casey Bowker is so good with Chris's, you know, because they've been, I mean, they're cousins, but he's been in, like, his movies since, like,
right,
forever. So he knows how to handle. I don't know if Anal Paprika was the first one or not, but you've never seen any of those, have you?
No, I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, they're literally, that's what they're called, but they're nothing like what they sound like. They sound like
crack it up over here.
They're
oh,
titles,
welcome
but
to the world of Chris Seaver, Just Jen.
Oh, yes.
What treats we
Trust
have
me,
in store
I
for
could
you.
I can send you a picture of all my Chris
what
Seaver
treats
movies.
We have in store for you.
I have a million of them. But, yeah, so I really enjoyed Ski Wolf a lot. But now we're going to go right into we got the villains.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the villains because they were fun.
Oh, yeah.
They were characters, for sure. So, first of all, there's Ralston Zapka III. Now, I don't know what Ralston was a reference to, but
no,
I know.
14th.
He's like a Thurston
the
Howell III.
The 14th. I'm sorry. I keep saying third. I don't know why. But
know why.
The 14th.
He's kind of like a Thurston Howell III sort of,
maybe,
you know, character, except he's the 14th and he's Ralston whatever.
He's Ralston Zapka. Zapka is obviously a reference to William Zapka from Karate Kid.
Right.
So he's the bully in Karate Kid is William Zapka. So he... obviously, that was a reference.
Obviously.
I mean, all right. I mean, but, yeah, so he was played by Trent Haga, who many might know from Troma. Worked on, like, he started in Terror Firmer, and I think he went from there to working on a bunch of stuff. Like, he was, like, first assistant director on Citizen Toxy and played a small role in that, and then he was... And tons of stuff, but he's been in Chris Seaver movies as well. Like, he was in the original Mulva, Zombie Ass Kicker,
right,
with
Debbie
Rashan. So, which I'm surprised Debbie wasn't in this movie, because she would have been.
Who also shows up in a lot of Chris Seaver films.
Yeah, she would have been great in this movie, but I don't think there wasn't any place unless they wrote somebody for her. Then there's obviously Fantasia Snow, played by Alex Lakehurst,
mm-hmm,
who is just the big busty woman who. You know, basically the prize to Ralston, but even though Ralston just doesn't care, like, about her at all. Like,
not about her natural talents, either.
Yeah. So, anyway, they end up, also, there's Bunny, played by Heather Maxson.
Woo!
Yeah, we love Heather, and she was so great in this. Like, I absolutely adored her in this movie, because it was... She played, like, this really dumb character, and she did it so well.
She made some very interesting points about Captain Crunchbar.
I know.
Everything she said had nothing to do with what was happening. No. It was just like, what?
At first, but then later on, she actually did have a little something like...
I know,
like,
I was disappointed in
I
that.
Know, I thought that was going to be a running, continuing
well,
thing.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, he's making a point about the worthlessness of the lapdog cronies that follow these bullies behind, you know, and how duplicitous they really are. And
But I liked her random comments, and then the last one, I was like, oh, that, like, has to do with something.
And it's just interesting from my point of view because I've only ever seen Heather in some of the later films where she plays a much more prominent role. So to see her in this very small role, it was interesting.
This character was good. One of my favorite roles that she ever was in a movie called Karaoke Kid. Obviously, a Karate Kid.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, you got to see that. I'll show it to you sometime.
Sweet.
But it is definitely like it's different because it's. One of these kind of things where they try to be more serious, try to be more mainstream. And that's what I feel like the problem with this movie is it has its moments of actual trying to be a real movie.
Right.
When, and then, you know, as you said before, they go into like the really goofy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can just see Chris Heaver just not being able to help himself. It's like, we've been serious too long. Now I'm going to throw in some goofy shit.
Well, I mean, I know. And like, okay, so then there's also the character of, I forgot what the guy's name was, but he's like, I don't even know if he was ever, like, his name was ever mentioned.
No,
in
he
the
did
movie.
Have a name. You hollered at him a few times.
Oh, okay.
Which one?
The guy who sounded like a cartoon.
Cartoon character.
The bundled up guy.
That, oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, I don't think he ever, I don't know if he got a name or not.
He did. I just remember
we needed him to have a microphone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he was great. I loved his voice. I don't know who did it. but I really loved his voice. I
we
thought that
never
was fun.
Know.
Hey, you know what? If I never know, that actually makes it sound cooler. So I'm all right with that.
But let's not forget the most important character of all, Teen Wolf or Ski Wolf himself.
Ski Wolf himself. Because I think everybody else, there's little things, you know, little characters that pop up randomly, but those were the main characters. It was the good guys and the bad guys, right?
I don't think there were any other characters.
Well, there's...
Well, the band.
Their band that shows up and lip syncs
badly.
The lip-syncing
band. Continuity error.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fantastic.
That was horrible, but that was great. I mean, you kind of expect that would happen and that'd be fine. Mm-hmm. You know, when problems happen in a movie like this, you know, like that aren't, I don't think they're really trying, you know, too hard to be, you know, like a Hollywood movie, you know what I mean? Right. So Ski Wolf himself was a pretty interesting guy. He was a very, he kind of sounded like Teen Ape, but like from California, you know, like.
And they definitely had sort of a, you know, who's that singer? Michael Jackson feel to him. Mm-hmm. You know, he did a lot of that kind of stuff.
What'd you
Moonwalking.
Think of Ski Wolf?
Costume wise, well done. I thought that costume and makeup were well done. I found it kind of awkward. He seemed to be changing the accent, and sometimes it was Southern California, and sometimes it was something else. And that I found kind of jarring. If he had stayed with one obnoxious voice, whatever.
One obnoxious
okay,
voice.
Okay, yeah. We cycled through several there.
That's funny.
And I think if his other ego, what's his name?
Scott.
Thank you. Scott had been less slapstick goofy, and then the Ski Wolf was
like over
as
the
obnoxious.
Top.
Yeah. I feel like that would have been a better.
Well, I think,
Scott
like,
being
I think. Yeah, I agree. And I think Scott is very, like I said before, he's kind of the pushover, but he's also kind of like, he's kind of still a dick at times. Like, he, you know what I mean? Like when he's telling everybody that he wants to stay the Ski Wolf because it's getting him what all the things he wants to get or whatever. Like, I mean, that's kind of a dick move. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if he were really, but the problem is like, you can't, you can't have a character that comes in and out whenever, like, it I don't even know what. Like, I think it came out because he got angry, you know, or whatever. And that was the whole point, is when he got angry, it came out. But he didn't seem to, you know, it would have been funnier, I think, if he wasn't able to get back to being the Ski Wolf for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to do that.
Yeah.
I think that, if they could have added a scene like that, I think that would have made the transition. Because all of a sudden, he's like, it's like he can control it whenever he wants. And in the beginning, he couldn't.
Yeah.
So how did that even make sense?
Well, and then the one thing I really noticed, too, and this is what I talked to you before about how clearly Ski Wolf is very similar to Teen Ape, and they annoy me at the same kind of levels. However, at least, you know, Ski Wolf comes to that self-actualization that, I've been acting like a douchebag all this time and been being jerky to my friends, and I should probably not be like that. I don't know that Teen Ape ever has that realization ever.
Well, because Teen Ape is just Teen Ape throughout. Like, he's not...
Right.
He doesn't ever take the mask off and show... because Teen Ape, just so you know, and people may not be familiar with Chris Seaver's stuff, and if you are not familiar with the Chris Seaver stuff and you've never seen Ski Wolf, you are being spoiled to death by us right now. Spoilered to death. But,
okay.
Yeah. But, the problem I had with, I guess with Teen Ape is that Teen Ape never takes the mask off, right? Because he's just a mask, a guy in a mask with a wolf mask and everything like that. I think if I'm correct, and I could be wrong, and if I am, you know, then oh well. Nothing I can do about that. But if I'm wrong, the thing is, I think Chris Heaver just created Teen Ape as kind of a funny character. And one, I think it was like one of the Anal Paprikas, I think part two or something, as just a goofy side character that really had nothing, you know, right? And then people wanted to see more of that character.
Took
so that
a life
more
of his own.
Character kind of came up and came up, and then it became, you know, different people playing it, like, you know, a trauma guy. Zafir played him in like Anal Paprika 3, and then there was and then in other movies he started, like, I think Quest for Exile, he was played by Casey, and then, you know, I think even Chris Seaver's played Teen Ape before or something, you know, so like it's like
one of the stock characters.
Yeah, it's just a character that he can throw in there to make people, and I think when he wanted to do something different but still have, you know, still give the fans that feel of Teen Ape. You didn't want to do, like, Teen Ape goes to ski, because then you don't have Casey playing a normal person.
Right.
You know, you have Teen Ape the whole time, and he's going to be, you know, if he's a good skier, he's going to be a good skier. You know, this way you can have somebody who kind of came in and, you know, was able to take over as being a skier.
Right, right. So, in other words, you get to see levels to the character. You know, you get to see the Scott character, but you also get to see the Ski Wolf character as well. Whereas, right, with Teen Ape, it's pretty much just Teen Ape all the time.
And I think the biggest problem is it felt rushed. Because, like, when, you know, when Casey comes out and says he doesn't want to be the Ski Wolf anymore, to me it felt like he... just did that out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, like he needed a couple more days, if you will, of being the obnoxious Ski Wolf. More, you know, showing the friends getting tired of him and leaving him, and yeah.
Yeah, things like that or something, because there had to be some time. Because it's just all of a sudden he comes out and says, you know, I don't want to be the Ski Wolf anymore, guys. I'm sorry. And then everybody's like, oh, I forgive you. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen in real life. And, I mean, I guess this is a Chris Seaver
unlike
movie.
The rest of the movie.
I know. But come on. There's got to be some kind of reality to a Chris Seaver movie, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. It did feel just a little bit pushed. But in other words, though, he had to do something, though, because he did change the ending. I mean, typically in these kind of 80s, trope kind of stories, the loser ends up winning and, you know, turns the tables on the guy. But he doesn't in this film. He actually loses. So it actually takes a sort of deus ex machina to explain how he's able to end up buying the ski lodge in the end after all. You know, he doesn't actually beat him in the ski thing. He doesn't conquer Mount Doom. Mount Doom conquers him.
Now, if you are if you are not familiar with what a Deus Ex Machina is, it's basically when something random or whatever happens in the movie that kind of helps, you know, push the movie or story along.
The hand of God, you know, comes out of nowhere and just does whatever needs to be done.
And right. This case, it was like his father left him $100,000.
Bag of gold he got from Myanmar.
Yeah. A pirate ship off of
Pirate ship.
Which they were able to buy the mountain with gold.
Right.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Better than a piece of paper that said cash written on it.
I liked that. I like that part.
I also like the part where the evil bully starts talking like Gollum. I thought that was adorable.
Oh yeah.
There were a lot of really random moments in it that were highly amusing.
And that's
just like, wait, what? Okay.
That's one of the beauties of Chris Siever films, that he likes to reference a lot of stuff that's out in the pop culture world, and he likes to reference it in the middle of nowhere. So you're kind of like, what? Where did that come from?
But it works.
It works.
I would say most of them, I think there were only one or two misses, I felt, at least in this movie. Most of them worked really well with it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't jarring. It was just like a little joke off into the corner.
Or like the Die Hard jokes that kind of piled up on top of each other.
No. My favorite out of the randomness stuff is when they're leaving the party and Ski Wolf says, "Drinks on him," and there's a random guy at the bar.
He's like looking around like, huh?
Looks down all sad.
Me?
I liked that.
That was
funny. I liked that. And because it was so funny because, like, I've never seen somebody do that in a movie. Yeah. If it's been done, I just haven't seen it. So,
I think it takes good timing on
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if it's badly timed, then it just seems like, I hate to use the word awkward again. I'm very fond of that today. But it falls flat. It's just weird.
Right. Yeah,
why was that in there? You could take it out, but he did very good on the placement.
The other thing I really loved that we saw a couple of moments ago in the background was getting to see Josh and Jesse Ames and their characters fighting over the last pancake, and he produces the Turkish Delight out of his pocket and gives it to her. She's all obsessed with Turkish Delight and gets to have the pancake. I just thought it was cute. It was very cute, and I like that Chris Siever allows these wacky little characters to sort of do their thing, even if it's in the background. You know, you get to see Jesse kind of doing her little weird dance in the background. It's cute. It's fun.
And one thing I'll say about Chris is he's able to take characters that are just off the wall weird and make them, you know, somewhat likable. I mean, would I hang out with these people, like these actual characters in real life? Probably not. I'd be a little too weirded out. But would I act in a Chris Siever movie had I been given the chance?
Yes. Hell yeah.
And I would love to play one of those. The thing is with Chris is, and I mean, I know he hasn't really been doing a lot of filmmaking lately, which is kind of a bummer. But I feel like Chris is just so good at making something just fun.
Right.
And
right.
Like you're not taking this shit seriously. And if you are, you know, then you know, it was kinda like was it you who was talking about Army of Darkness and watching it that one time and you thought it was serious?
Yeah, well, the first time I was introduced to it, I was told it was a kind of a horror movie and I absolutely hated it.
Right.
And then years later in college, someone had it on the background, like, no, this is complete comedy. And, you know, you change your
right.
Frame of mind, and it was absolutely hilarious.
So if anybody takes this seriously at all, there's something should be wrong with them.
Oh,
right. And obviously it's not a horror movie per se, and it's not a teen comedy per se. It's a mashup. That's the whole point.
So, what is everybody's favorite line? Let's try that, like, from the movie. I think we've all probably said it in some way or another, but
I still like the guy paying all the drinks.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
But line wise, I couldn't.
I couldn't remember the exact line, but I do like it when he's, "Oh, Master knows," and he's talking like Gollum. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was well done.
I think my favorite still is the "Don't look at me."
Don't look at me.
It just comes out of nowhere. He says that, and so I mean, there were a lot of good lines in the movie. Unfortunately, the movie, there's so many things happening that the good lines are probably forgotten after
right,
a while.
Right. And Chris Seaver is very good at dialogue. He has his actors say a lot of very unconventional and, frankly, sometimes very strange dialogue. Mm-hmm. And these guys have to memorize it all and make it seem natural. And they have a very good job of it. But he's very, very good at putting unconventional dialogue in the mouths of his characters. And usually these things, they come fast and furious. And, you know, you're getting one and you're laughing at it. And there's like five more that have just come out of another character's mouth. And it's a lot of fun. You know, and that's a hallmark of his films, is that a lot of quick, funny lines and one-liners.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think the film is hilarious. But then again, there are some moments that kind of are a little cringeworthy. We'll talk about that in a second, because like, we talked a little bit about the Die Hard references, but there was, you know, it was like, cry hard, and then I'm going to make you,
cry harder.
And then cry hard with a vengeance. And then you're going to live free and cry hard. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And it just kept going.
Keep going.
Well, no, even going. Cry Hard with a Vengeance was like, I knew where they were going with it.
Right.
So, you know, if this was made in, like, 2015 or something, or 16, he would have gone as far as to say, and it would be a good day to cry hard. Right. You know, right?
There'd be Harry Potter references or something like that.
No, well, maybe. I don't know.
I thought there were a couple
maybe
references in it, yeah.
I wouldn't have known.
I wouldn't have known either. I don't watch any of that.
Yeah, but...
I only watched one movie. I did read all the books.
I see. It's okay.
I had to. I couldn't just stop halfway through a series. That's my excuse.
Well, just imagine if Chris Seaver had written Harry Potter, how interesting that would have been.
He's done a Harry Potter. He did...
Quest for Egg Salad?
No. He did... I want to say it's beyond. Oh no, Heather and Pugly.
Really?
Heather and Pugly Cockblock the Apocalypse.
Ah, okay. So you see, I haven't seen the Heather and Pugly movie, so that's why it didn't come to me. But Quest for the Egg Salad was his version of Lord of the Rings.
Oh right. Gosh.
Yes.
Yes, and he's done. You know, and those are the kind of things that are so fun.
And they're fun.
Yeah, because they're just like, you know, he did Kill Bill. You know, he did a parody of Kill Bill called Mulva 2 Kill Teen Ape. And it was goofy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Destruction Kings, which I reviewed for the Independent Coroner, it was it was basically the Monster Squad.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, he's done these kind of things. This was Ski Wolf or Ski School and Teen Wolf mixed, and so it was great to kind of see all these characters and these actors, like having Trent Haga come out from California to act in, you know, most over-the-top role. But, like, you get Trent Haga, and I've always said this about Trent. Like, I don't think I've said it on the air, but I've said this, you know, personally. Trent Haga is one of those actors that, like, he seems very professional.
Right.
You know, like, he'll come prepared. He'll give you whatever you want, like, plus whatever if you just have him come out, you know, or whatever. And so he was just... he was wonderful in this. One of my favorite performances, actually, by him.
Yeah, he was very good.
So, let's talk about the music, and then we'll just kind of sum everything up. Okay, so I want to talk about the music.
Well, can we talk about Mount Doom? Because that didn't look very doom. Especially not with the casual skiers in the background.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure they couldn't kick the skiers off, you know.
Yeah, like we said earlier, it's not like he's going to be able to get out there and get a lot of professional stunt people to do all of these ski stunts for him.
No, but I thought it did. Let me try that again. I thought it was a pretty good job for not being able to do that.
It's true. Right.
I think at least one point, it looked like the two of them were on their knees and somebody was off camera kind of throwing snow.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Make them look like they were skiing, and they're going whoosh.
Whoosh.
I love the whoosh.
The whoosh was awesome.
I think they did that several times when they were quote-unquote skiing.
Well, it's so funny because in the beginning of the movie, he does the ski-off or whatever, and he falls and he hurts himself or whatever, and he looks like a loser, you know, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then he challenges them to Mount Doom, which I believe is the same mountain he just
right.
did.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's like, okay, you're challenging me to the one that you just lost.
And let's just for a moment go back to that and say it's not as much mountain as it is just a nice gentle slope.
Bunny slope.
It's a bunny slope.
Yeah.
Doom.
What I liked is I liked at the end with him going and, oh my God, we have the video in the background. It's about to do the sex scene, which we didn't even talk about the sex scene.
No, we didn't.
It's
the elephant in the room. We might as well talk about it now.
It's, all right. So let's talk about this. There's a sex scene between Alex Lakehurst and Ski Wolf. And also all the other characters that pop in.
Eventually.
Everyone comes.
And they are so funny. Lord. Like, we did kind of talk about it. We said that it kind of went on a little too long. And things like that. But, and honestly, you know, I feel like there could have been, it could have been funnier at times.
Yeah.
And the parts that it wasn't funny and felt like real in a way, you know, like they're really having sex or something, you know, just was kind of, I don't know.
I did make the point at once. I said, well, the sex scene looks better than the one they had in the room.
Yeah, that's true. In the movie, The Room. Yeah. But, all right. So, the music in the movie, let's do that. Let's talk about that and not look up. just because it's going to distract us. So, what is it?
It was ska-rific as usual.
Ska was a lot. The High Gears, which do a lot of their music and stuff, were wonderful. What else? I think a lot of it was ska stuff. So,
yeah.
And a little bit of punk.
A little bit of punk. And I'm not sure if any of them was being written by Chris Seaver himself or anything, like any of the songs. But, you know, it seemed to fit with the rest of the movie. So.
Yeah, the ska definitely fit the slapstick feel of everything.
Gives it a lot of energy, gets it moving along.
Which has a lot of montages. And
And that's another 80s trope. I mean, Chris Seaver loves his 80s movies, clearly.
Yeah.
70s and 80s.
You've got to see Heather and Pugly because, like, in the...
I know!
You know, in the beginning of those, in the openings, they always do, like, a dance scene where they all dance while the credits are rolling. And, oh, man, I kind of wish that there was that in this, you know.
One of them is called Heather and Pugly Drop a Deuce.
The first one. And then there's Heather and Pugly Crucify the Devil. And then there's Heather and Pugly Cockblock the Apocalypse. So,
but they do show up in a couple of other his later movies.
Well, yeah, Mulva Kill Teen Ape, Mulva 2 Kill Teen Ape. There's Heather and Pugly, but they're not together, I don't think, in the same scene. Because, like, I mean, his characters are stock characters. Right. They come back. If he thinks they're funny enough and people seem to enjoy them, sometimes there's characters I do not enjoy at all. That pop up more than once.
Bone Jack.
Well, Bone Jack was one of them to you. I could tolerate Bone Jack. He's not as annoying to me as some of these other characters that are just make no sense whatsoever. And I mean, that to Chris Seaver is funny.
Right.
And that to some really, you know, some people love that kind of stuff. But this one was, like I said, it was a lot tamer than a lot of his other over the top.
And I think we've mentioned before how it's very difficult to do comedy well because what's funny to one person is not necessarily funny to the other person or to anybody else. But generally in a film like this, there is enough weirdness and wackiness going on that somebody's going to find something funny in this. I mean, I can't imagine anybody watching this and just being bored, which we've talked before. That's generally the cardinal sin of bad filmmaking is to make a movie or to make something boring. Nobody wants to be bored.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, this isn't a great movie in the normal sense of a, you know, a horror film or anything or comedy or whatever, but it is funny. Like, you've laughed. So I was happy.
We weren't sure.
Laughed. Yeah. And that made me happy because I was worried when we were even warning her before it started that this is, you're going to be in another world, basically, when you watch a Chris Seaver movie. This is his universe.
Right. Moody and I are fairly well inoculated at this point, but just Jen is out there representing the normal folks, and we were a little worried about her. But she pulled through. She did well.
Dude, next time we hang out, just you and me or whatever, even if she wants to come or not, we're watching the Heather and Pugly trilogy.
All right.
Three movies, back to back. Be a little over 3 hours long. It'll be a lot of fun.
There's lots and lots of good Chris Evert for us to show you.
I know. You would be like, oh my God.
Especially Sex Watch. You know I love Sex Watch.
That'll have to be another indie film cafe for sure.
Yes.
Score. And I wanted to show this because we got to pick, Paul got to pick the last two movies that we did, and I get to pick the next two. So I'm picking this one. And I think I have another one, but I'm not going to announce it yet until I have it in my possession.
Right.
But, you know, it's my precious.
And here's some of these movies you don't own?
Well, no, I own it, but it's scratched up. So I need to get a new one.
And one thing I would like to point out, in light of some of the previous movies we've seen or we've discussed on our little podcast, I really think Chris Seaver as a director has definitely got some talent, and maybe more talent than some of the other folks of the genre that we've dealt with. I mean, if you compare this movie with, say, the early, I don't know if you didn't get to see, you just got to see Suburban Sasquatch.
Yeah.
But you can see there's kind of a difference there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Not just in directing, but also, of course, in budget.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you know, I will say this. Like, this is kind of unfair because, like, Chris Seaver is a pretty good director. Mm-hmm. Like, he's good at shots, framing stuff, having characters in the background doing something silly, you know, very, like, airplane-ish kind of thing. And then there's people like Tommy Wiseau, who's just a horrible director. Like, he's really bad. He's a bad writer. He's a bad director. From what I've understood, and like, I'm scared of the guy. He seems like a complete creep. And yet, he's more famous than Chris Seaver stuff because he's done a horrible movie that everybody just lauds and magnifies. And then there's people like Chris Seaver or Todd Sheets or people like that who are just good directors. They're pretty good at setting things up or even Dave Weskovich, you know. And thank you, Dave, for promoting us on your website. Really appreciate that.
I'm getting fungicide and Tartarus in the mail. Can't wait.
So I'll have to let him know that I give him a shout out. You look at these movies and you see all these people, and yet the people that get famous are the ones that really truly suck. Mm. Is that not fair? That is
and
not fair.
That just goes to show you that's just, you know, the random nature of you know, life working in the pictures and working in Hollywood or working in the entertainment business. You don't really know. A lot of times, it's just a matter of luck.
Yeah, man. If Chris Seaver, which he's on the screen right now, doing a random cameo, but if Chris Seaver had the budget that the Room had, he could have done billboards showing his movies. And you know what? If he had the budget that he had, he would have just made a million of his movies. You know what I mean? He wouldn't have... he wouldn't have done, you know, like a $5 million Chris Seaver movie.
Right.
He would have done probably a $100,000 Chris Seaver movie or something, and then a bunch of, you know, $5,000 movies or something.
You know you look at some of the other movies we've seen, and you compare that to The Room. I mean, The Room did have a $6 million budget. Mm-hmm. And it's just not fair to compare it to some of these other ones who really do the best they can with what they've got. They just, you know, you can only do what you can. But like I said, you know, you look at Chris Seaver, he does a pretty darn good job with what he's got. So you got to give him props.
I give him props. I've always given Chris props. Since the first second I found, I discovered him through Troma and everything, and I rented Quest for the Exile. After that, I was hooked.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and... I remember telling Chris, and this is a funny story, but I remember telling Chris, because he'd contacted me through AIM, of all things.
Nice.
And everything. And he was, like, talking to me and stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, I just rented your movie from Netflix. And he was like, oh, yeah, which one? It's like, Quest for the Exile. He was like, all right, well, if you never talk to me again, I'll know why.
That was funny, though.
I loved it. It's one of my favorites. I don't think it's one of his favorites. I'm not sure. I don't know. I can't speak for him. But obviously from that dialogue of him telling me, like, he doesn't think I'll talk to him again after that. But it was my first discovery of Tina Krause, who was in that movie, and I love her to death. Mm. I think she's just a awesome person. And that movie may not have gone very well for them, period, but I loved it. It was fun. That's another one you got to see at some point.
Absolutely.
And okay. It's just over-the-top goofy, but it's Lord of the Rings. But they're like, it's like they just saw the trailer to Lord of the Rings, but never saw the actual movie.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
Okay.
And it was wonderful. It's great. But yeah, so I just, you know, it's one of those things. So I guess to wrap this up, wow, we've been going on for 45 minutes. That's
very
awesome.
Very good. Very good.
That's awesome. That's a long show for us to just ramble. So if you're sitting through this long, thank you. I'm guessing you're doing something else while you're listening to us. I hope.
You know? And we barely used Continuity Monkey at all.
Well, there was not very much continuity errors, except for the singer who lip-synced badly. And there was one other one.
Almost like a montage-ish type of feel to it. So you didn't feel like you were actually watching the band playing at that moment. So
right.
It wasn't as
And then you can see the edge of the lens of the camera. Often on the left.
Well, there's also, you know, to go back to that whole thing about the montage, because the singer is there in one of the scenes doing something with them, and then he goes back and he's still on the thing singing, and I was just like, wait, what?
The invisible microphone?
The invisible microphone. Right. I don't understand why they, when they had a real microphone, you know, they gave it to her to... Did not actually have a microphone.
I think that's up there with the piece of writing that said cash on it, 50K on it.
Oh, it's just a joke, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'll give it that.
Little bit.
Yeah, I absolutely love this this movie, and I give it two paws up.
Two paws up, very cool.
What do you give it?
So I've been using 1 to 5 hooves. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Three and a half.
I like it better than some Chris Seaver movies. I don't like it nearly as much as some of the other ones that I've come to love, but it's still a good effort, and I liked it overall.
Okay, I don't remember what I did last time, but I guess compared to the only other one I can compare it to, I would give this one 4 stars. Just, it was better quality, better story, all of that. And it was... The humor was well placed.
Right, right.
That's my biggest thing there is the humor was very, very, the random stuff in the background. That's why you forgot a lot of the lines, because they're speaking these awesome lines and then this weird thing's happening in the background. You're like, wait,
confuses you for a second. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in a good way.
In a good way.
Yeah, there's just so much going on.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of it. Like, there's a lot of those movies. You know, even as short films or whatever, there's like a ton of things going on in the background, in the foreground, everywhere. And you watch it more than once because you can't focus on whatever. So,
well, it'll be interesting as we get just Jen to see a few more of these films so she can compare. But also, I'd be curious to see what you have to say after you've seen 3 or 4, or even 5 more Chris Seaver movies to see how this one ranks with some of the other ones.
Okay, I'll start taking notes.
All right. Well, thank you guys all for listening tonight. I was about to say tonight, and then I said today, so it's tonight.
Continuity error.
But thank you guys all for listening today, because I think I'm posting this tomorrow at noon, so that'd be awesome.
Outstanding.
So we can get it done and out so we don't have any more hiccups, you know, or anything. Thank you guys for listening today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you haven't seen Ski Wolf, I don't know why you listen to us, because we just like literally probably ruined the whole movie for you.
But you need to go see it now.
But you need to go see it now so you can know. Maybe if you want to know what kind of tomfoolery and buffoonery and what else do they say? Hijinks.
Hijinks. Hijinksery.
Hijinksery.
Like, all of those things are in this movie.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Yes, doing the Gollum thing. Oh, my goodness. I absolutely love that. I loved him, Trent Hager. Anyway, I was getting distracted.
Yeah.
We need to end this. thank you guys so much. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Check back next time. I'm not sure when it's going to be, but we're going to be doing something. We'll be talking about one of the movies. I know we're gonna going to be possibly going to the room at some point. So checking that out. And I have something in mind. I'm going to tell them secretly. Ha ha ha. So you guys will have to find out later when we do it, because I think I have the best one to follow up on that Chris Seaver movie that he's never seen either. So.
All right. And just a quick note at the Chris Seaver. Hey, listen, I got a thing in the background ready for you. Ski Cow. Call me.
All right. Well, thank you. And Ski Wolf 2, man. I would see it.
There you go.
Know? It would be, how about Suburban Ski Wolf?
Suburban Ski Cow. Let's do it.
Oh, no. Come on. That's a little too much. All right. Thank you, guys.
Maybe that's Continuity Monkey needs his own movie.
That's a little too much. All right. Speaking of which, have a good day, everybody. And I don't know how that was a speaking of which, but all right. Have a good one, guys. And tune in soon.
Excelsior!
Huzzah!